What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. On today's bonus episode, I've compiled a few of my GOAT lists from my previous episodes from last year. So rounding out the GOATs, part three, we have the greatest UFC men fighters of all time, and then the top five UFC women fighters of all time. And then we also have the top 10 greatest boxers of all time. So take a listen. Do you agree? Do you disagree? I don't give a fuck because it's my show. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the GOATs. All right, and now I'm going to break it down into two top five lists this week. I was talking about John Jones the last couple of episodes, talking about how I believe he is the GOAT in UFC, and that got me thinking, who do I think are the best UFC fighters? So today I'm going to do the top five male and female UFC fighters. I did want to include both. And I didn't want to mix the lists because you can definitely mix the lists, but I just felt it was better to separate them out between male and female. So that's what we're going to go ahead and do for this week's top five. We're going to do two top five lists. And so let's kick it off with the top five greatest male UFC fighters of all time. I do have some honorable mentions. So let's start it off with the first honorable mention is Chuck Liddell. I had to include him. He just missed the top five in my opinion, because there's just, I feel like much greater fighters with bigger resumes than him. But the thing about Chuck Liddell is he basically started the UFC. He was basically the first, he was the face of the UFC for a very long time. He was like their first superstar, and he was a damn good ass fighter. So his career record was, he was 21-9. His weight class was light heavyweight and heavyweight. Some of the awards he won, he was 2-time fight of the night, 2-time knockout of the night, and he is a UFC Hall of Famer. Belts achieved, he's achieved the light heavyweight title, and he's defended that title 4 times. So Chuck Liddell, you really can't talk UFC in the history of the UFC. And this year actually is the UFC's 30th year, their 30th anniversary. So they are celebrating a lot of their past. And Chuck Liddell, I just kind of feel like when talking about UFC, you can't not bring up his name and what he did for the UFC. And the UFC would probably not be where it's at today without Chuck Liddell. So I absolutely had to put him in the honorable mentions. My second honorable mention is Conor McGregor. He just really took over the UFC. Once he hit, he was just a knockout king. The attention he still brings to the UFC, and the dude hasn't fought now in almost a year or 2 years. Was it 2 years ago that he? Yeah, I think it was actually 2 years ago that he busted his ankle. So, but his presence is known. Now, he's supposed to fight again at some point this year. But to act like he isn't a historical figure in UFC is just stupid. I mean, he just really came in and he kind of brought that boxing attitude, because if you're a boxer, one of the things you're supposed to do to generate views is you're supposed to talk a lot of shit. And in leading up to the fight, it's supposed to be a war. Even if you guys don't truly hate each other, you're supposed to act like you truly hate each other. And that's what Conor McGregor brought to this. I mean, he did go too far, especially the time when he threw a fucking dolly at a bus against Khabib Nurmagomedov. So, I mean, he has taken it too far in certain instances. But overall, I mean, Conor McGregor is also a huge piece as to why the UFC is so popular these days, because he just really came in like a wrecking ball. Like, he was Miley Cyrus and just knocked everybody down. And his last couple of fights have not been that great. But still, whatever. Historically, he's one of the greats. Overall, his career record right now is 22-6. the weight classes he's fought in, featherweight, lightweight, and welterweight. The awards he's won, first UFC double champ, 7-time performance of the night, 2-time fight of the night, knockout of the night, fastest title fight victory in UFC history with 13 seconds, 2015 fighter of the year, and 2021 highest paid athlete of the year. And that actually had nothing to do with the UFC. That actually had to do with his stupid fight against Floyd Mayweather, in which he was paid like $100 million, I believe, or something insane like that for that gimmicky bullshit. Belts achieved. He's won titles as the featherweight and lightweight, although he has never defended his titles, which is one of the reasons why I couldn't put him in the top five. But I also felt like it's doing a disservice to UFC history and the greatness that is Conor McGregor to not at least mention him in the honorable mentions. And then my last honorable mention is the aforementioned Khabib Nurmagomedov. He is one of the greatest wrestlers you will ever fucking see. The best way to describe his wrestling style is he is like an anaconda. He just knows. He has this way of where he will just like grab every piece of your body and like suffocate you to death. And it's just craziest thing to watch. Just watch. Just go to YouTube and watch highlights of his and you will just see him. It's just the craziest shit to see how he will just get anybody, everybody who he fights, because he is undefeated. Everybody who he fights, he just gets you in the craziest fucking positions and will grab each and every appendage you have and you won't be able to get out of this guy's grip. It's just absolutely insane. So I had to put him in there as well. His career record is 29-0, so he's undefeated, and that says something. His weight classes he's won in lightweight and welter, that he performs in lightweight and welterweight. Some of the awards he's won: 3-time performance of the night and 2020 UFC honors submission of the year. He's achieved belts in the lightweight division, and he's defended his title 3 times. Now moving on to the top five greatest male UFC fighters of all time, beginning with number 5, Daniel Cormier. The dude was a beast, and he fought all the heavy hitters at the time. When he fought everybody, and that matters to me. You have to fight all the great fighters of that era to even be considered on any list of mine, and he was obviously one of the greatest wrestlers, as I just mentioned with Khabib. But Cormier actually is an Olympian. He's an Olympic wrestler. So that's his background. And so that's basically usually where that was his bread and butter, was on the ground. But he did get a few knockouts with the fists and with the feet before. So he just was just a dominating guy of his time. His career record, he's 22-3 with one no contest. That was against John Jones. The weight classes he's fought in, light heavyweight and heavyweight. Some of the awards he's won: second UFC double champ, 3-time performance of the night, 2-time fight of the night, and the Strikeforce heavyweight champ. He's achieved belts in both the light heavyweight and the heavyweight, and he's defended his title 4 times. Then at number 4 on my top 5 greatest male UFC fighters of all time, I have Stipe Miocic. This guy is insane. When he hits you, his fists are like bricks. That guy delivers a hit like I have never fucking seen before. He will knock your ass out and it's nuts. I mean, his fists, it's just, like I said, they're fucking bricks. They hit you and it's like boom, 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 and he just is a killer. His career record is 20-4. He's in the heavyweight weight class. Some of the awards he's won: he's a 5-time performance of the night, 3-time fight of the night, and knockout of the night. That is his specialty, are the knockouts with those brick fists of his. He's achieved belts twice. He's a two-time heavyweight champ, and he's defended the title four times. Then at number three on my top five greatest male UFC fighters of all time, George St. Pierre. This guy is like a lion. When you release him, like as soon as the bell dings, it's like you open the cage door and this guy is just gonna fucking maul you to death. He was insane in his heyday. He would just like pummel you with punch after punch after kick after punch after punch. He'd get you on the ground. This guy dominated the UFC in his era. His career record is 26-2. He fought in the welterweight class and the middleweight class. Some of the awards he won, four-time fight of the night, knockout of the night, submission of the night, performance of the night. He is also a UFC Hall of Famer. He achieved belts as the two-time welterweight champion and the middleweight champion and defended his title nine times. The dude was a beast. Now we get down to what was very, very difficult to me, the top two of the top five greatest male UFC fighters of all time, because it's so tough. Because it's between Anderson Silva and John Jones. But I went with John Jones as number one. So let's go with number two. Let's talk about Anderson Silva. It was hard because when Anderson Silva fought, that dude was so much fun to watch. He owned the UFC. He was the king of the UFC. Even his injuries are one of the most notorious injuries of all time, when he fucking cranks back, kicks a dude, and breaks his fucking leg on the guy. And you, if you can handle that shit, go YouTube Anderson Silva leg injury, and you just watch it crack. And it's shaped like a fucking L when he's done. So even his injuries are just as crazy as the fights that he won. But when I get to why I put John Jones at number one, you'll understand why. I just couldn't overlook everything that John Jones has accomplished. But Anderson Silva was one of the most accomplished as well. By far one of the most exciting fighters ever in UFC history. He just was such a knockout king. He was a submission king. I mean, the guy was one of the greatest all-around fighters you will ever fucking see in UFC history. His career record was 34-11 with one no contest. His weight classes that he fought in, middleweight and light heavyweight. A few of the awards he won, seven-time knockout of the night, five-time fight of the night, two-time submission of the night. Longest title reign in UFC history of 2,457 days. He won belts in the middleweight division, and he defended his title 10 times. So Anderson Silva, while he was exciting and fun to watch, I had to put John Jones at number one. And the reason why I put John Jones at number one is because he basically owns every UFC record you can. He still fights to this day. He dominates every single fight. I mean, even the fights that he was, quote, down in, he was never really down, and he would still get the win. And it's just the way he's dominated some other great fighters in the past and in the present. It's just, and his all-around fighting skills. He is, out of all the fighters, past and present, he has probably the greatest all-around fighting style ever. He can fight. He can kick your ass standing up. He will kill you with his elbows. He will kickbox your face to fucking death. He can ground and pound you like no other. He will submit you. He just has one of the most all-around greatest fighting styles you will ever see. And he should technically be undefeated. And the controversies, I don't think, in my personal opinion, don't really put a stain on his career. So I just feel like John Jones is the greatest of all time. His dominance, he's, like I said, he's never had a down moment, really. His career record is 27-1 and one no contest. The one loss, most people don't think it was a loss. and the no contest. It was, you know, he failed a drug test, so that's going to happen. But he's fought in light heavyweight class, heavyweight class. Some of the awards he's won, four-time fight of the night, two-time submission of the night, knockout of the night, two-time performance of the night, youngest UFC champion at 23 years old. He's already in the UFC Hall of Fame. Longest light heavyweight champion reign of 1,501 days. Longest unbeaten streak in the UFC at 19. We all know it would actually be longer if that loss wasn't on there. And then he's had the most wins in UFC title fights with 15, which right there alone, in my opinion, puts him at number one. He's achieved the light heavyweight belt twice and the heavyweight belt, and he's defended his titles 11 times. So I just kind of feel like his resume says it all. While Anderson Silva, probably the most exciting UFC fighter ever, and really just dominated his era and his time, just John Jones, when you watch him, I kind of feel like the reason why some people might not put John Jones at number one is because he doesn't have as many exciting knockouts as, say, an Anderson Silva or Stipe Miocic or Conor McGregor. But who the fuck cares? The dude's got some of the greatest skills you will ever see. And he's still fighting to this day, and he dominates. Like I said, he has not had a bad fight. Even when it looks like he's down, the guy is not out. So I got John Jones as my GOAT in UFC. And he could extend everything. Because it doesn't look like he's retiring, at least anytime soon. So we'll see what happens with the future of his career. All right, now let's move on to the top five greatest female UFC fighters of all time. Now, the difference between these two lists really is, you know, female UFC fighters have not been able to compete as long as male UFC fighters because female UFC fighters just started fighting, I think, what, like 10 years ago? As I said, it's the 30th anniversary of the UFC, so they're celebrating a few things, and it was actually kind of hilarious to watch last week's fight because, you know, when they do just the little things in between fights, when they talk about stories or whatever, one of the things they showed was they got Dana White walking out of like a restaurant or something, and they're like, "So, hey, Dana, are we ever going to get females fighting in the UFC?" And he was like, "Never. We are never going to have women fighters in the UFC." And here we are. And in my personal opinion, I think the women fights are actually more exciting. They're more fun. And there's actually one female fighter in my top five who I actually think could fight men and would actually win on a few occasions. It would depend on who she faces up against, but when we get to her, we'll get to her. But so the difference between this list and the male list is that the females, there's a lot of recent females on here, females who are actually still fighting today. And that's really just because they don't have the same history as male fighters do. And luckily they are fighting and, they are getting, just as much attention as male fighters, which is just great in my opinion. That's one of the reasons why I like the UFC a lot is because, we get to see just as many female fighters as we do male fighters. Now, of course there are more male fighters, but that's really just the circumstance because, you know, not as many women want to fight like there are men. And you know, it's going to take more time. More and more women fighting is going to bring up more and more women fighting. So this list has a lot of more recent women on here, especially the first couple of honorable mentions here. So let's get it kicked off with the honorable mentions on my top five greatest female UFC fighters of all time. I have Rose Namajunas. She is one of my personal favorites. I love watching this chick fight. She is insane. Now, she's great when it comes to submissions, but she's had a few insane knockouts, especially with her feet, where she has kicked the fuck out of a couple of bitches. So Right now, her career record is 11-5, and she still has, I feel like she still has quite the career ahead of her. So she could potentially move her way up into the top five at some point in her career, because she's still fighting, and she's still fighting strong. The weight class she's currently in is a strawweight. A couple of the awards she's won: 2-time Fighter of the Year, 2017 Upset of the Year, 3-time Submission of the Year, 2017 Knockout of the Year. She's won Performance of the Night 3 times, and she's also won Fight of the Night 3 times as well. And she's achieved belts in the strawweight division and defended the title twice. But what I really like about her is that she's one of those fighters who fights all the greats, and she will go up against all the greats in her weight class, and she's not scared to do it, and she's even beaten a few of them. So she's even delivered the first loss to one of the greatest female fighters of all time, Johanna Jędrzejczyk. I'm probably pronouncing that last name incorrect, but sorry, that's just one of those fucked up Polish names that is very difficult for me to pronounce. But she's a badass, and Rose Namajunas delivered a huge knockout to that bitch. So had to put her in my honorable mentions, but Rose could absolutely, in the next couple of years, depending on how the rest of her career goes, she could potentially move her way up into my top five. Then another honorable mention on my top five greatest female UFC fighters of all time, Holly Holm, another personal favorite of mine. She is not only one of the greatest UFC fighters of all time, but one of the greatest female boxers of all time. And that's what I love about her. Watching her box, oh, her boxing skills are just fucking to die for. I love somebody who's got great technical boxing skills is just, it's just beauty to me. I love watching great boxing. And Holly Holm is an excellent boxer. She's also an excellent kickboxer, but just her hands, oh, just her technique is just beautiful. And she hit the scene and delivered some of the greatest knockouts to some heavy hitters in Ronda Rousey and Chris Cyborg, by the way. So she's had some big wins, also some big losses too, which is what kind of keeps her out of the top five for me. But I had to put her in the honorable mentions, not just because she's a personal favorite of mine. But she, when she hit the UFC, this bitch hit the UFC and just pummeled motherfuckers like no other. Her career record is 14-6. She still currently fights as well. So who knows? She could potentially move up a little bit further in the ranks as well. The weight classes she's fought in, the bantamweight and the featherweight. Some of the awards she's won. She's won 2-time Fight of the Night, 2-time Performance of the Night, 2015 Upset of the Year against Ronda Rousey, 2015 Knockout of the Year against Ronda Rousey, because that is a hell of a knockout. If you ain't ever seen that knockout, watch Ronda Rousey get knocked the fuck out by Holly Holm and knocked the fuck out by Amanda Nunes. Two of the greatest fucking knockouts ever. Those two against Ronda Rousey. And then 2015 Newcomer of the Year. She's won belts in the bantamweight and defended that title once. Then my last honorable mention on my top five greatest female UFC fighters of all time, I have Miesha Tate. She is just an excellent wrestler. You know how I was just talking about Khabib and how he's like an anaconda? She's pretty similar. She's like the female version. As a matter of fact, the thing about Miesha Tate is the bitch could take a punch. It looks like she's going to take the world's biggest hit, because this has happened to her a couple times, where she gets hit like a motherfucker. And it looks like the other fighter is about ready to take her ass out. Nah, Miesha Tate gets them. She gets them in some crazy fucking submission position and lights out. Lights fucking out. And she's another one. She still fights. She did take a few years off, but she still fights. And she will fight the best fighters. She will never shy away. Even to this day, she will fight the best fighters. her career record right now is 19-9. The weight classes she's fought in, bantamweight and flyweight. A couple of the awards she's won, 2-time Fight of the Night, 2-time Performance of the Night. She's achieved belts in the bantamweight and defended that title once. All right, so now moving on to my top five greatest female UFC fighters of all time, beginning with number five, Valentina Shevchenko. Now, she did just lose last weekend, but hey, that's going to happen. But the thing about this bitch, she is nuts. Nuts. That's the only word to describe Valentina Shevchenko and her fighting style is nuts. She is an excellent fighter. When she kicks you, it sounds like a metal baseball bat to the fucking head. And I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. It sounds like a metal baseball bat to the head. And she's quick as a motherfucker with the feet, with the fucking fists. She will get you to submit like no other. This bitch is nuts. Her career record right now, because she still fights, 23-4. The weight classes she's fought in, the bantamweight and the flyweight. Here's just a little list of the awards she's won. 3-time performance of the night. Tied for the most wins in UFC women's flyweight division history with 9. Most consecutive wins in UFC women's flyweight division history with 9. Most consecutive wins in UFC flyweight division history with 9. Most title defenses by a woman in UFC history with 7. Most consecutive title defenses in UFC women's flyweight division history with 7. Most title wins in UFC women's flyweight division history with 8. Most knockout wins in women's flyweight division history with 4. Second most finishes in UFC women's flyweight division history with 5. Longest average fight time in UFC women's flyweight division history, averaging 17.1 minutes. Most takedowns landed in UFC women's flyweight division history with 35. And holds the most victories over 4 former UFC champions. That list contains Holly Holm, Juliana Pena, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, and Jessica Andrade. And she has owned each and every one of them. The bitch is nuts. The belts she's achieved were in flyweight, and she's defended her title defenses 7 times. She's still fighting, so she can move up. Would not be shocked if she did, but she's a beast. Then at number 4 on my top 5 greatest female UFC fighters of all time, Joanna Jędrzejczyk. As I said, it's very possible I am pronouncing that last name incorrectly because she is Polish, and so her last name is difficult for Americans to pronounce, but she is also a beast. She has the craziest, fastest fists you will ever watch. She is insane in the membrane when you watch her. And some of her fights, she's had some of the greatest fights ever. She fought against Zhang Veli, or Welly Zhang. I always forget which one comes first with her. But when that fight was over, their faces were so bruised, battered, and bloodied. Jędrzejczyk's fucking forehead was like so swollen, it was like inches, sticking inches out, like 5 inches out beyond her fucking actual head. It was insane to see. But she has some of the most bloody, bruised, battered, craziest fights in UFC history. Her career record is 16-5. She actually just recently retired, I think, last year. The weight classes she's dominated, strawweight and flyweight. Some of the awards she's won, right now she's actually tied with Amanda Nunes for the most title fights in UFC women's divisions at 10. She is a one-time performance of the night, 3-time fight of the night. She's tied with Carla Esparza for most wins in UFC women's strawweight history at 10. Most title bouts in UFC women's strawweight history at 9. Most wins in title bouts in UFC women's strawweight history at 6. Most consecutive wins in UFC women's strawweight history at 8. And she's tied with Angela Hill and Tisha Torres for most unanimous decisions in UFC women's strawweight history at 6. The belts she's achieved, obviously, at strawweight, and she's defended her title 5 times. Now at number 3 on my top 5 greatest female UFC fighters of all time, Chris Cyborg. Yeah, the name says it all. First and foremost, Chris Cyborg is basically who introduced me to the glorious world of MMA fighting. Now, Chris Cyborg, obviously, she worked her way up to UFC, and she pretty much has fought in basically every single level of MMA you can. And I believe it was Bellator I saw her fight in. I could be wrong, but it was not a UFC fight that I saw her first fight in. But I remember it like it was yesterday, because I remember watching her pummel the fuck out of her opponent. And I mean the fuck. You watched her, I could see bruises forming on her opponent's face with each and every punch in real time. It was so nuts to see. Chris Cyborg is who I was referencing, by the way, who I believe could fight a man and win, depending on the man. Obviously, she's not going to beat up some men, but I'm not going to lie, this bitch could fight some men and beat the fuck out of them. She has, you know, I was talking about Stipe Miocic and how he's got bricks for his fists? Yeah, so does Chris Cyborg. Watch Chris Cyborg highlights. Her fists are nuts. This bitch, I don't even know how she's lost a fight, because she will pummel a motherfucker to death, and it's nuts to watch. Like I said, she is what introduced me to MMA. And I remember watching this fight like, holy hell. She has no mercy. Her career record is 26-2. The weight class she's fought in, featherweight. Some of the awards she's won, one-time fight of the night, most wins in UFC women's in featherweight division 4, tied with Megan Anderson and Felicia Spencer for most knockouts in UFC women's featherweight division at 2. She's obviously achieved belts in the featherweight division and defended that title twice. But Chris Cyborg, I kid you not, even though she's not number one on my list, if she were to fight a man, I would not be surprised to see her win and knock out a man, because her fists are fists of steel. She is insane. And the name Chris Cyborg alone says this bitch gonna fuck you up. That's all I'm saying. All right. Then at number 2 on my top 5 greatest female UFC fighters of all time, gotta give it up to the bitch who started it all. And that is Ronda Rousey. I wanted to put her at number 1 just because you gotta give Ronda Rousey her respect, because she is why this female fighters are what they are today in the UFC. Ronda Rousey was probably the biggest draw in UFC for like a couple of years, like 3 years straight. You wanted to watch a Ronda Rousey fight over men's fights. Like, and that says a lot. Her sheer dominance at the time and just what she did for the UFC, she has to be included in your top 5. And she, in my opinion, has to be top 3 at this point. There is only one woman I put up above her. And when I get to her, you'll know why. Because she's knocked her ass out, is one of the reasons. But Ronda Rousey, she laid the foundation and was so dominating. This bitch owned the armbar like no tomorrow. Like it was crazy. I believe her first like 9 fights were armbar submissions in the first fucking round. Like it's crazy to watch. So she just had some of the greatest fights you'll ever see, but she absolutely has to always be mentioned as one of the greats because of what she did for female fighters and the ground she laid, and she did dominate. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. She did dominate. And also, You can't be mad at her for going to wrestling. I bet you she makes way more money as a wrestler than she ever did as a UFC fighter. I could be wrong there, but I'm betting you she makes a shit ton of money as a wrestler as opposed to a UFC fighter. But anyways, her career record, 12-2. Weight class, featherweight, and bantamweight. Some of the awards she won, 2-time fight of the night, 1-time submission of the night, four-time performance of the night. She is the first female UFC champion ever. Basically, anytime you mention UFC women's fighters, you're almost always going to have to mention Ronda Rousey because she was the first at everything, basically. First Olympic medalist to win a UFC championship. Fastest women's title fight victory in UFC history. 14 seconds versus Kat Zingano. Longest title fight finish streak in UFC history at 6. Most armbar finishes in history at 9. Most consecutive armbar finishes at 8. Second most title defenses by a woman in UFC history at 6. And won the first ever women's UFC fight in UFC history. She won belts in the bantamweight division and defended her title 6 times. So as I said, you cannot discuss women's UFC without discussing Ronda Rousey. She started that gangsta shit, and this is the motherfucking thanks she get. She was great. No matter what you think of her, she was great. All right, and now number one on my top 5 greatest female UFC fighters of all time, Amanda Nunes. And that's just because not only is did she kick the shit out of Ronda Rousey, but she's basically kicked the shit out of every fucking female fighter there is. Her all-around game is spectacular. She's great standing up. She's great with the elbows. She's great with the ground and pound. She's great with the submissions. She's just great. She's the definition of greatness. Her career record is 22-5. She's fought in the bantamweight and the featherweight classes. Some of the awards she's won. Third UFC double champion. First fighter in UFC history to defend two belts simultaneously. Most wins in UFC title fights amongst women at 10. And 5-time performance of the night. She's achieved belts twice in the bantamweight division and in the featherweight division. And she's defended those titles 7 times. And really, Amanda Nunes, she still fights to this day, so she could extend her greatness even further out, which I wouldn't be shocked if she does. But overall, her greatness, you can't argue against. Some of the knockouts she's had are some of the most memorable, especially against Ronda Rousey. That is one of my favorites, is to watch her knock her out. And when Holm knocked out Rousey as well. But those, I believe, are the top 5 greatest male and female UFC fighters of all time. And top 5 list this week. Going to continue the theme of me ranking greatest of all time. So today, it's going to be the top 5 greatest boxers of all time. This was a very difficult list to whittle down. The reason why I went with boxers is we did have a pretty big fight last weekend. Gervonta Davis, he got a big win last week. I didn't watch that fight at all, which is why I didn't really break it down or anything, because I don't have any problem with the boxers who fought last week. It's just I'm not really familiar with them, and it wasn't something I was really well versed in, so I wasn't going to discuss it. But it was a big fight. Then this week also we have a new movie coming out called Big George Foreman. It's about one of my favorite boxers, George Foreman. And then next week we have a big fight. The fight I'm looking forward to with my favorite boxer for now. Like in today's boxing day and age, my favorite boxer is Canelo Alvarez. I love watching Canelo fight. He's just a beautiful fighter and fine as hell too, so that doesn't hurt. But he's got a big fight next weekend as well, so I felt like this week would be a great time to do my top 5 greatest boxers. As I said, this was a very difficult list. As a matter of fact, out of all the greatest of all time lists I've done so far, this was the most difficult because there are so many fantastic boxers, and I actually learned about a boxer who I've heard of, but I had never seen a fight of his. I didn't really know much about him. And this is why I'm glad I do these lists, because I learned a lot about this guy. And I was shocked and in awe at what an amazing boxer he is. And he is on my list. And I didn't even know about him until like this week when I started compiling the list. And I'm glad I did. But I mean, there's so many boxers I couldn't include on this list. That's why it's only top 5, because if I expanded it to 10, I would probably still be working on the fucking list right now. So I whittled it down to five because 10 was too much. I mean, I had to leave out guys like, I'm sorry to my friend Simon. I had to leave out his favorite boxer, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and I could have put him in there. I almost put him at five. I really almost did. If I was making a top 10, I probably would have put him at six, maybe seven. But that dude was a beast. I left out Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson, one of my favorites. I love Mike Tyson. But he was more of just a knockout artist. And while I'm not trying to say he didn't have any good skills, it's just that's what he was really about, with the boom, the knockout. He wasn't he wasn't as technically sound as some of these guys. And also his career had its ups and downs, and it just wasn't as consistent as some other boxers. But he is great and one of my favorites. I also left out guys like, because I'm not as hung up on records as some people are. Going undefeated, it's an amazing accomplishment, but the two guys who are undefeated, they would probably make my 10, but they didn't make the top five. And, that is of course, Rocky Marciano, excellent boxer. He's undefeated. He was the first like undefeated boxer, and his record stood until Floyd Mayweather Jr., broke the record. But Rocky Marciano, he fought great boxers in his era, but some of them were like at the end of their career. And so some of his fights weren't as impressive for his record, but he was a great boxer. And then, as I said, Floyd Mayweather Jr., the only gripe I've ever had about his career, because don't get me wrong, in my personal opinion, Floyd Mayweather Jr. has the most beautiful technical boxing skills you will ever see. Defensively, offensively, he just knows how to just bounce around, and he's just great at it. He was born to box, that's for damn sure. But he fought a lot of dudes at the wrong time. You know, he didn't fight them at the peak. And so that, to me, I did hold that against both him and Marciano when I was breaking down my top five. But those are some of the guys that could have easily been here. And it was, like I said, very, very, very difficult for me to get this in there. So a couple of my parameters outside, like I said, I wasn't as hung up on record. But by that, I mean undefeated. These guys in my top five have excellent records. One of these dudes, I can't believe how many fights he fought. But these guys, they have amazing, stellar records. Not undefeated, of course, but their record, it definitely came into play. Also, their domination of their specific era. All five of these guys fought the best. They fought the best in their era, no question. Two of them, really, they fought in the same era. And then there were other guys in that era where you're like, oh, man, you guys were excellent. And then, of course, like I said, you had to have fought the best of that era. And you had to have fought them at their peak, at their best in their era. And then I also didn't include any of the guys who are in it, who are still boxing. Like I said, I feel like Canelo, however much longer he goes, he could be considered one of the greats, especially if he keeps fighting at the rate he does. Because one of the things I love about Canelo, he doesn't take a lot of time off. He pretty much, I think he does about at least three fights a year. And that's not common these days. But I just love the pace he works at. And he doesn't like to back down from dudes, and he likes to fight the best. So I feel like eventually, when his career is all said and done, he could potentially be one of the greatest boxers of all time. Also, Tyson Fury, he's another guy who I love, who I feel like, even though he technically is retired, I kind of feel like when a boxer retires, you need to give them a couple years, because sometimes they come right back into it. So I kind of left out those two, just because I feel like they could add to their legacies and potentially vault themselves up here. So let's get into my top five greatest boxers of all time, beginning with number five, Sugar Ray Leonard. He boxed from 1977 to 1997, off and on. Unfortunately, his record is not... He would have way more fights if it wasn't for some really bad injuries he suffered throughout his career. He fought a total of 40 times. His record is 36 wins, 3 losses, and one draw. 25 of those wins were due to knockout. And he won titles in 5 weight classes. He was the lineal champ in 3 weight classes. He was the undisputed welterweight champ. He also is a gold medalist. He's in the Boxing Hall of Fame, of course. As a matter of fact, all 5 of these guys are in the Boxing Hall of Fame. He was actually, in my opinion, one of the first, like, big-time boxers. You know, he was the first to actually earn a $100 million purse. And so that's what I mean. Like, he was the first to really start making some good money off of this. He was also in one of the greatest decades for boxing as well. He was basically a part of, like, the 4 greatest boxers of this era in the 80s, between him and Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Hearns. These guys were the tops. They were the supreme, and they fought each other all the time, and they were great fights. And so in the 80s, it was excellent watching those 4 back and forth with each other. But at this time, the boxer of the decade in the 80s was Sugar Ray Leonard. He was also the fighter of the year in 1976, 1979, and 1981. He won his first 27 fights to start his career, and his first loss was his 28th fight against Roberto Duran. So Sugar Ray Leonard, like I said, if he didn't suffer so many injuries throughout his career, he would have fought a lot more, and he probably would have won a lot more. As a matter of fact, he probably would be ranked right up there with Muhammad Ali. It's just that his career was just, it just had too many ups and downs to it, and just the injuries really held him back. But, I mean, he was an exciting fighter to watch. Some of his fights, man, you're just like, this is beautiful boxing. And he really took over. He really dominated his era. And that was a good era to be dominating in as well. Then at number 4, I'm going to drop 5 greatest boxers of all time. A lot of people don't rank him this high. I know I'm biased, but it's George Foreman. He is my favorite boxer of all time. I've always loved George Foreman. I actually have a personal story with George Foreman. I was born in San Jose, California, and lived there till I was about 5. And I was born in 1985. So when George Foreman was getting ready to make his comeback, he came back in 87. George Foreman's career was from 1967 to 1977. Then he retired in 77, came back in 87, but basically made his real comeback in 94 through 97. But in 87 is when he made his comeback. And so in this time, we lived next door to his trainer. And my grandpa was a huge George Foreman fan as well. So I honestly don't know the exact parameters of what really happened, but we found out that the trainer lived next door, and George Foreman actually used to do laps in my swimming pool while he was training for this this period of time. And I even have a picture of me on George Foreman's shoulder. So that's my personal little story I have about George Foreman, and so that's kind of one of the reasons why I've always loved him, because that's just cool he swam in my freaking pool, for Christ's sake. And also, he just was a great boxer. Now, George Foreman was all about the knockout. This guy is probably the hardest hitter ever in boxing. It's tough to say that because Mike Tyson, he also had an amazing amazing punch. And, you know, when I said Foreman came back in 87, his intentions were to fight Mike Tyson because he felt he could beat Mike Tyson. Can you imagine if those two fought each other? Oh, that's a fight we all have missed out on. Like, the two hardest hitters. Because when Mike Tyson fought, it was like he wanted to turn your head into dust. And George Foreman was the same. Like, if you watch old George Foreman training videos, his trainer would be holding the punching bag, and Foreman just takes one fucking hand and pummels the crap out of this punching bag, and his trainer goes flying because he just hits it so hard with one hand, one right hook to the freaking punching bag, and his trainer is flying. So George Foreman was just known for being big imposing, and would knock your ass out. He fought 81 fights in his career, won 76 of them, lost 5, 68 of those fights were knockouts. He was the heavyweight champ. He first really broke into boxing with his first fight against Joe Frazier. Joe Frazier was undefeated at the time, and he knocked his ass out. And so, yeah, George Foreman came in like a wrecking ball. And he's also a gold medal winner. In amateurs, he was a killer in the amateurs as well. That's where he really made it. And that's why I said when he came up and knocked out Joe Frazier, people were kind of surprised, but not really that shocked. One of the biggest things, though, about George Foreman, I mean, like, he fought some greats. Not only did he fight Joe Frazier, but in my opinion, he was a part of the greatest fight of all time. And that is the Rumble in the Jungle. Now, I'll get more into it when I start talking about Muhammad Ali, because obviously Muhammad Ali is in my top five. He should be in everybody's top five. He doesn't have to be number one, but if you do not have Muhammad Ali in your top two, three, you don't know boxing. But anyways, we'll get more into that fight. But the Rumble in the Jungle, man, George Foreman was kicking the crap out of Muhammad Ali, and just Ali got this second win and knocked George Foreman out. And big George Foreman, they call him big for a reason, because he's just so imposing. But he got knocked out by Ali. He fought a couple more fights, and then that would be his first retirement from the sport. And then, like I said, he would come back in 87, but 1994 is when from 87 to 94, he was just slowly building it up, fighting lower tier boxers. And then in 94, he went back for his heavyweight belt that he lost to Muhammad Ali many, many, many years ago. And at the age of 45, George Foreman would become the oldest heavyweight champion of all time. He would knock out 26-year-old Michael Moore, not that fat fuck director Michael Moore. No, an actual boxer Michael Moore who, man, it would actually be fun to watch these two guys not kick the crap out of that dumb shit director Michael Moore. Ugh, don't even get me started on how much I hate that sack of shit. But anyways, I digress. Back to actual things that matter, like boxing. But George Foreman knocked this guy out in the 10th round. And, you know, Foreman looked old. He definitely looked old in this, but he knew if he just got the knockout in, that's all he needed, was just the one solid punch, and that is what he did. He delivered that blow in the 10th round, knocked Michael Moore to the fucking ground, and became the oldest heavyweight champion of all time. He would hang on to that belt for a couple more years, and then he would finally retire in 1997. He would actually start his career off by winning his first 40 fights, and then his first loss actually came to Muhammad Ali in the Rumble in the Jungle. So George Foreman, my favorite boxer, had a stellar career, and he is at number 4 on my top 5 greatest boxers of all time. Then number 3 on my top 5 greatest boxers of all time, Roberto Duran. He boxed from 1968 to 2001. He fought in 119 fights. 119 fights! And his record was 103 wins and 16 losses. 70 of those wins were to knockout. In the 1970s, this guy dominated the 1970s so bad, he went 54-1 in the 1970s. This guy was a freaking killer of his era. He is one of the, two boxers it is, that have fought over 5 decades. Yeah, 5 different decades this guy fought from. He won 4 titles in 4 different weight classes. And he just, as I was talking about Sugar Ray Leonard, he was in that era with him, Hagler, and Hearns. These guys dominated that era. And I mean, he, like I just said, fought in 5 different eras, but and dominated really in the 70s. But the 80s, he was right there with them. And, they just dominated it. And he was such a, like, I would compare his kind of fighting style to, like, the Tasmanian Devil, where it was like, you just didn't expect this guy to dominate like he did, and he just come right out of the corner and just pummel you like no other and just knock you out, and he would just move on. And I mean, when I see somebody fights over 100 times in their career, you gotta give it up to that guy. And he fought all the way until the bitter end. And when he retired in 2001, of course, he's also in the Boxing Hall of Fame. And he's definitely considered one of the greats in most everybody's eyes. He actually started his career winning his first 32 fights. His first loss was to Esteban De Jesus. And I mean, really, his 16 losses is mostly just because the dude just kept on fighting. And he kept fighting until he was 50 years old. He really fought till he was 50. So, I mean, you're going to suffer some losses towards the end of your career if you're still fighting in your 40s and 50s. You know what I'm saying? But even so, Roberto Duran was just, he was something else. And to dominate as long as he did, to fight as long as he did, and the fighters that he fought in all of the eras. I mean, like I said, not only did he fight the greats of the 80s, but he did. He fought some greats in the 70s. And he just really is one of the most dominating and fun boxers to watch of all time. Then at number two on my top five greatest boxers of all time, Muhammad Ali. He fought from 1960 to 1981. He had 61 total fights in his career, 56 wins, 5 losses. 37 of those were to knockout. Of course, he did have the 4 years he was not allowed to box with his conscious objection to the Vietnam War. I don't give a shit about any of that crap on either side, whether you think he's awesome or whether you think he's a piece of crap. I don't give a shit about those kind of things because politics do not matter to me in any way, shape, or form. I only care about Muhammad Ali and what he did in the ring. And at first, when I thought about this list, I'm like, well, of course, Muhammad Ali is going to be number one for me. Until I saw number one. But he's number two for me. And that's just because there has been nobody like Muhammad Ali. Still to this day. I mean, he was so brash. He really said some fucked up shit, too, about his opponents. And his opponents would do the same thing. But man, Muhammad Ali, there is no way that dude could exist in today's era of pussydom. With some of the shit he would say about his opponents. Anyways, he was a gold medalist, of course, inducted into the Boxing Hall of Fame. But it was just really his straight-up domination. He fought everybody. He was not afraid to fight. And like I said, the Rumble in the Jungle is, if you have never watched the Rumble in the Jungle, do yourself a favor and watch it. I mean, George Foreman is beating the crap out of Ali. I remember when I watched it for the first time, and I knew that Foreman lost. And I'm like, and as I'm watching it, I'm like, how does Foreman lose this shit? Because just his domination. But all of a sudden, Ali gets this second win, and the rope-a-dope, you know, that's what he was known for. And, you know, he did some of that in this one, and he came back and knocked out big George Foreman in the prime of his career, too. Foreman was in his prime. Ali wasn't in his prime anymore, but he was still damn good, obviously. But he got the second win, and he did that many times. But also, he would showboat in the ring, which would always be hilarious. I love watching some of his older stuff when he would literally dance. He'd be dodging punches and then be like dancing, like, haha, bitch, you can't get me, and then knock a motherfucker out. Or when he would knock a motherfucker out, he'd stand right over them with a big old smile, like, bitch, I beat you. And he just was a really, really fun boxer to watch. And like I said, he fought some of the best. He fought Joe Frazier. That was one of his biggest rivalries in boxing. They did the Thrilla in Manila. That's another amazing fight. They fought in the Philippines in 100 degrees. It was 100 degrees. So, I mean, you're already sweaty as fuck if you're boxing. So imagine what it's like boxing in 100 degrees. And even Muhammad Ali said himself, it was like being in hell. He didn't even want to rewatch it because his quote was, I don't want to relive what it's like being in hell. So even though he won, and man, it's It's crazy because, like, he and Joe Frazier are just trading barbs back and forth to start. But then as the fight goes on, Ollie gets a cut over, forces a cut over Frazier's eye. And then so that starts to bleed into his eye. And then his face starts getting swollen. And, I mean, as this fight rolls on, like, Frazier don't look like Frazier anymore. He is looking like Mr. Swollen Face. And Ollie, Frazier's corner would throw in the towel, and Ollie would get the win. But to start Muhammad Ali's career, he won his first 31 fights, his first loss to Joe Frazier. But I mean, Muhammad Ali was basically born to box at every single level. He started boxing at 12 years old, and basically he won everything. He was a golden glove award winner at basically every level of boxing. Like I said, he's a gold medalist. And then once he hit the scene, he just was known as the greatest boxer basically of his era, of all time for sure. And, he just was something else. The end of his career, obviously, if you don't know, he had Parkinson's disease, and, the reason why he had Parkinson's disease is because he fought too long. He probably should. There was a point in his career towards the end of his career. Let's see. He retired in 81. So I believe it was in 77, like his main doctor basically told him he needed to retire. He told him to go fuck himself, and his doctor quit. And so he fought on a couple years too long. As a matter of fact, his last fight, it sounds actually very sad. I can't recall the name of the boxer who kicked the crap out of him, but he basically got the crap kicked out of him. Even like boxing aficionados and sports writers and stuff who were there, they said that was not what we expect to see from Muhammad Ali. It was like watching a shell of his old self. And he actually broke the rules because at the end of the fight, literally right after the fight, his team gave him painkillers and antidepressants after the fight. And you need to take your analysis before that happens. And that's one of the reasons. It was a very kind of sad ending to his career, because even in his last couple of fights, he was starting to stutter, and he was shaky. And so I can imagine kind of how sad it was to see the end of Muhammad Ali's career, even though when I personally hear that, because I'm a big sports fan, and one of the things I do like about athletes and what I marvel at is what they will do to win and to be a champion and to fight that long, even though you basically know you're going to die because you're fighting. I have respect for that. I know a lot of people, they don't. They think, yeah, that's bad. You should want to live till you're like 9,000 years old. And I just look at it and I go, you know what? Muhammad Ali, in my opinion, lived a great life. I mean, obviously outside of the racism and that kind of bullshit. But I mean, he's gone down in history as one of the greatest boxers of all time, if not the greatest. Because I can't argue with somebody wanting to put him at number one, even though he's not my number one. But I mean, he had a great career. He had, he's still known to this day. And he did many great things throughout his life. So in my opinion, even though boxing is why he's dead, so fucking what? He lived a great fucking life and did great things by being a boxer. And, I say shout out to you, Muhammad Ali, for living your best fucking life, being the greatest at your sport and doing that. And I personally have mad respect for that, because that's just a whole other level of being an athlete. And when somebody puts their all into it, especially boxing, because really, if you do look at the history of most boxers, their post-boxing career usually ends up pretty sad. There are very few Floyd Mayweathers, if you will. You know, Floyd Mayweather's prospering post his career, and he walked away without really suffering any major injuries or anything, and he had a great, fantastic career. That's not how most people's career ends, especially in the early years of boxing. But yeah, you will notice that a lot of them do die early due to a lot of the brain injuries, because I'm sorry if you're getting pummeled. That's what's going to happen, but they choose to do it. And if they choose to do it, that's on them. And like I said, I have respect for it. I'm going to keep watching it. And, shout out to Muhammad Ali for being one of the greats. And I was surprised, though, he was not my number one. Because number one on my top five greatest boxers of all time, I didn't know who he was. I have heard of him, but I'd never watched one of his fights. I didn't. When I saw his record and how many fights he has fought in his career, I was like, whoa. And then I watched highlights of his, and I was even more in awe. So my number one is Sugar Ray Robinson. He fought from 1940 to 1965, which is obviously why I've never seen him box. But I do, I'm a person who loves to watch old fights. I'm actually a person who's actually annoyed that ESPN Classic no longer exists, because they used to show old fights all the time. And that's where I would watch a lot of old fights. And they show the whole thing. It's not like a highlight reel. It's the entire fight. And I love watching old boxing. I could watch the Rumble in the Jungle probably once a month or once a week. That's how I know what happens. But I could watch it all the time, just because boxing is just, it's fun to watch. It's a beautiful sport, in my opinion. And so I'd never seen Sugar Ray Robinson. I was surprised, because I watched a lot of ESPN Classic. But I'd never seen him fight. And so when I started doing the research, and he's number one on probably most lists. It switches back and forth between him and Ali for the most part on most lists. But when I saw him, I was like, well, I got to do more research on this. But when I saw his record, this dude fought 201 fights. When I saw that, I was like, oh, okay. No wonder why people put him up there. I mean, his record speaks for itself, too. He has 174 wins, 19 losses, 6 DQs. Two no contests. And 109 of those, wins were due to knockout. This guy was consistent as all hell. As a matter of fact, he is considered the first, like, superstar athlete. He was known for being flashy and just, I guess he lived in New York and was just a real flashy guy. So he was that dude back then, and I didn't know about him. So when I started doing my research on Sugar Ray Robinson, I was like, okay, he is number one on my list, especially after I went and watched some highlights. I was in such awe of this dude with the highlights. I was like actually loading a bowl in my bong of weed, and, you know, I could do multitask at the same time. Usually I do. And as I'm getting ready to open up my bag of weed, and I'm starting these highlight reels on Sugar Ray Robinson, I actually put down my weed, because I'm like, whoa, this guy, no wonder why people rank him at number one. The way to describe this guy in the ring is a fucking hurricane. Holy goddamn hell, this guy is hands. You can't see him, he's so fucking fast. And I was like, whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. This guy is 100% number one on my list. Muhammad Ali, entertaining as hell. Sugar Ray Robinson, even Muhammad Ali called him the best of all time. So if Ali's got something to say about you in a positive way, that means something. But beyond what I watched highlight-wise, if you haven't seen Sugar Ray Robinson fight, do yourself a favor and Google him. On YouTube, they've got a bunch of highlight reels. That guy was amazing. So Sugar Ray Robinson, like I said, fought from 1940, 1965, had 201 fights, 174 wins, 19 losses, 6 DQs, 2 fucking A, 2 no contests. So he started his career with a 40 win fight streak. And after that, he would go on a 91-win fight streak. I mean, this guy, it was like win, 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 win. Then he would lose. Then he went on a 91-win fight streak, which I think is fifth or sixth all time. So yeah, believe it or not, guys have won over 100 times in a row, which is just crazy. But this was like the first real deal boxer you will ever see. And even after he lost after the 91 fight streak, after he lost that, I mean, he would go on to have a bunch of really nice winning streaks up until the end of his career. But he was a five-time middleweight champ. He was the 1950 Fighter of the Decade. He was the Fighter of the Year in 1942 and 1951. And like I said, this guy was, he was something else. I don't even really know how to put it into words because I was just so blown away where I was like, whoa, how did I not know about this guy? Because like I said, when I started this list, I'm like, Muhammad Ali, number one, right off the bat. That's what I thought. And then I'm like, wait a second, who's this Sugar Ray Robinson guy? Then I start doing research on him. I'm like, oh, wow, look at those stats. Turn on the highlights. That changes every motherfucking thing. Sugar Ray Robinson, still to this day, in my opinion, the greatest boxer of all time. He is why we have boxing. And just, whoa, just to watch him in the ring, it's mind-blowing. It's really difficult to explain because it's the first time I've ever seen this guy box. And he's been long dead. Long freaking dead. I was shocked. And that's why I'm happy I do these lists, because sometimes even I, a huge-ass sports fan whose life has revolved around sports, even I learn new things and discover new athletes. And Sugar Ray Robinson, I am thrilled to have learned about you, and you are the greatest boxer of all time, hands down, in my opinion. But if somebody wants to come at me and say, nah, Ali's number one, I really can't argue with that, because Ali's impact on the sport of boxing, it can't be touched. To me, Ali is like how Michael Jordan is with basketball. When you think of basketball, even though Michael Jordan hasn't played in a million freaking years, you still think of Michael Jordan. You still talk about Michael Jordan. You still hear about Michael Jordan. Before Tom Brady became the greatest of all time in football, you still hear about Joe Montana. It's not like he's the worst. It's not like he's crap. But, I mean, you still hear about Joe Montana. And the dude hasn't played in freaking forever. Babe Ruth, still hear about the dude and his impact on baseball. And he played in the early freaking 1900s. So when you make this type of an impact on a sport like Muhammad Ali did, I can't argue if you want to put him at number one. But, man, Sugar Ray Robinson, 201 fights. It's not even just that record. It is not even just that record. Turn on some highlights and you will be in awe. If you're a boxing fan, man, obviously, if you're not a boxing fan, you're probably not going to enjoy any of it. But if you're a casual boxing fan, or if you're like me and you didn't know who the hell Sugar Ray Robinson is, do yourself a favor. Look the dude up. Like I said, compare him to a hurricane. That, whoa, just whoa. And so that is today's top five list. My top five greatest boxers, as I said, number five, Sugar Ray Leonard. Number four, George Foreman. Number three, Roberto Duran. Number two, Muhammad Ali. And number one, Sugar Ray Robinson. Glad I found you.